Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Woo-wee! How's everything? Guess what? It's all peachy here. That's right. I've had peaches from three different places this week, and I have to tell you, they were all delicious. This is a great year for fresh peaches, y'all. But, of course, it's always a great day for great peaches because Mark Patrick's here. Good morning, peaches.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Woo-wee.
Yeah.
I have to tell you,
right.
If people have been following you online, and they should, of course, they have been seeing some of the best, most dramatic pictures of container plantings. I don't know who in the world unleashed you, but you have just been everywhere doing these, and they're just beautiful. That, of course, is Southern Charm Garden Designs that y'all need to get in touch with and know a lot about. But the thing is, I don't have that eye. I can tell you which plants will live in there together. I can tell you which ones you're going to have to take out later because they're going to get too big or too wet or too something. But the way the design itself is really a particular skill, and I don't have that talent. I appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, it's arty. It's very arty.
It's very arty. Yeah. And you just kind of have to get in a zone, and sometimes it's like, don't talk to me. I'm thinking about this.
That's right. I'm considering this. How much room is there in here for roots, and how much top is there, and how much this and that? You know, it's really fun. David and Oak Grove's already weighing in with us about peaches this morning. Peaches and cream. Sweet corn is ready to be picked in Simpson County this morning. Well, Wow. Where am I? Why am I not there? Good morning, Lance. We can be some peaches today.
I played with you there. I was listening. Mm-hmm. I knew you had to do the reveal a few seconds later.
Yeah,
we
you're
had
fun.
The peaches.
You're so nice.
Oh no, but
yeah.
Really, it's a.
Appreciate
I haven't
you.
Had the peaches to eat yet. You're telling me that you've had plenty of good peaches.
Yes,
and they're delicious.
May I just say the best ones that I have had thus far came from the market at Tupelo, and we're going to tell you more later on this morning because there's a peachy event coming up there. We're going to talk about
there's
that.
There's a couple of peachy events coming up.
we're sort of on that track. And it doesn't have to be cobbler. It doesn't have to, doesn't have to be pie. I'm just into the peach.
Oh, I just like a basic peach. Yeah.
And if it runs down my arm, all
that's
the better.
Even better.
That's
you know
good
that's
one there.
True. Oh, my goodness. He's right, though. And guess what else? David and McGee has got these magnificent, I do love a sugar snap pea, but I got to tell you, these corns are so perfect that they look like peas sitting in this bowl. It's they're just that beautiful. You know how you have that nice slick skin sometimes?
Right.
Well, in this case, the shucks are just really pretty, and you'll get to see that. Now we're getting to see some of Peach's containers coming up on supertalk.tv. We're laughing, too, because this is way too much for just David. I need his corn. We need to take that away.
We need corn. You know, I love everything about corn except having to shuck and prepare it.
Oh, see, and I enjoy that. I like that sound.
Well, that's that really, difference between you
yeah,
and I.
I love that sound. You like to look at it. I like to
it
tear it up.
It does nothing for me.
I want to tear it up.
Absolutely
and
nothing.
And by the way, if you're not putting some of those inner corn silks in the water when you're boiling, you're missing a trick. You can also grill them with just that inner skin on them, that inner shuck on them, and that makes a nice container for the corn. Anyway, it's a whole thing.
I love
See,
that.
There
I,
they are. They're so pretty.
I
oh,
love
my goodness.
That whole, how do you
what is
shuck
your favorite?
Your corn?
Yeah, that's right.
How,
that's right.
Know, how do you get the tassels out?
Well, there's a couple of different ways, but one is patience. And, of course, if you're not being driven absolutely insane at moments, it doesn't require patience.
That's possibly why I don't really have much for that.
Well,
yeah.
If you looked, this is terribly deep and metaphysical, but if you spoke to the spirit that brought me here, if you talked to God and said, why is she being born? The answer would be to learn patience.
To learn patience, yeah. And I'm in line right behind you.
This is really interesting. Those are beautiful. gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. I don't know the answer to that particular thing. The potatoes are, yeah, we did that one already last week. But yes, indeed, this is true. There's mushrooms growing in the containers. There's mushrooms growing out of the trees.
We
had so much water in May that there are things blooming that have never bloomed before. There's more blueberries on my ancient bushes than there have ever been. And no, I could not have watered them this much and gotten them to make these blueberries. This is something that literally has to come from the sky.
Exactly. And I wish I could.
Same is true of these mushrooms.
No, wait. I wish I would have written down the day, the time, and the moment when we were about to have that last freeze. And I spoke to you and you said, I'm worried about my blueberries.
I was.
And now.
They're look, magnificent.
Yeah.
Well, we have syrup. I made pie this week. I eat them by the handful anyway. My teeth are going to turn blue pretty soon. But there's so many things to do with them. My very favorite, and which I'm probably going to only get around to one batch, is blueberry muffins made with fresh blueberries. But it only takes like a cup for 12 muffins. I mean, I can't eat that many muffins.
I know, right?
So, anyway, just something to do in the season. Something to do in the season. Talking about, looking at that one, that's so pretty. Just gorgeous. Peach tree sets a lot of fruit, but they only get to be about the size of a quarter. What's wrong? Oh, my. There are many things. First of all, how old is the tree? If it's less than 6 years old, you're doing great. Okay. But on the other hand, if it's 12 years old and it's never made fruit bigger than a quarter, the chances are really good that you're not pruning and fertilizing and watering and perhaps even spraying, because they do get pests. So I need to know a little bit more about the tree to answer that properly. But if they're not getting bigger than a quarter, and you're doing everything else, I can't tell you. But if it's about a 6 or 7 year old tree, that's not a surprise. And in fact, when trees get older, the fruit will get smaller simply because there's too many of them for the tree to support. And that's
exactly
when we get into that thinning thing, when they get to be about the size of, you know, your thumb. But I don't know. I mean, fertilizer can do it. Lack of pruning can do it. Too much water, too little water, all those things can reduce fruit size. But with peaches, I tend to lean towards the pest angle, because there's so many.
Yeah.
There's, you can set your clock.
You can.
By the peach pests. So I would say, for the case of this particular texter, it's 5 years old. Okay. Well, then you're doing good to have any at all. All right. But what you may want to do is check out MSUcares.com and just look up peach growing, so you understand about the pests that you're going to encounter if you haven't already. And also, because the way peaches grow is not how we grow them for production. We tend to make them into an open vase. So the pruning is real important, so that all the sunlight gets into the center of the plant and can make those fruits get bigger. So you may have too many, and you might be lucky at that, because you can always thin them, but you can't make them appear if they don't.
There's that science part.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and the average home gardener, they don't spend, I feel like they maybe don't spend enough time researching the fruit trees.
Well, who can
vegetables.
You believe, though?
Well, this is
I
true.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, I've had so many people say to me, I read all these books, and every one of them says something different. Well,
yeah.
That's why you call me, because at least I'm not going to tell you something, and you're not either, that we haven't put our hands on.
Right, right.
And unfortunately, even though, you know, some of those folks are my colleagues, some people will write about things they don't know that much about, and it becomes lore instead of actual horticulture.
So, yeah, exactly. It does.
You know,
you're exactly right.
Well, yeah. I mean, for more information, see the grits machines that are supposed to get rid of fire ants. Not going to work.
That's so funny, because I just happened to have an article here about how illegal it is to put gasoline on fire ants, and it doesn't work.
First of all, it's illegal. Second of all, it really doesn't work.
And that is from our friends at MSU Cares.
See, we appreciate them.
Yeah, we do.
You know, the thing about, oh, gosh, let's not get into fire ants. That's too hard. fire ants are so tough because they're just a year like this, all the ones that were hiding underground that you don't know about have now popped up and made mounds everywhere they can get through the surface of the soil.
And every one of them has found my ankles.
Oh no!
Yes,
I hate that.
Dancing around in the garden, you know, that's why you always keep a leaf blower handy.
Well,
and
that's true. Blow them away.
You blow them into the next week,
or at least the next yard or somewhere. About the mushrooms in the containers, there's not a good answer for me to tell you why they're only in this one container. Probably staying wetter, but it may be the only one that happened to have any of the spores in it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say pull them out, put a little lime in there because that'll suppress their return. And that's really, it's not going to hurt the cannas to do that. So that's what we're going to do about that. It's time to book your sweet corn purchases, my friends.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know about these folks. You know about these folks, Lance. This is 45 South toward West Point in the Egypt community.
Ooh.
You ever had that?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So it's time to book your corn at Martin Sweet Corn. So get yourselves to Martin Sweet Corn and book your corn. That's fun. Thank you, Marty. Appreciate that. Here we go. Fall mums are reblooming. What do I do? Do I prune them again? Yes.
Yes.
Now, this brings us to the day length question.
Oh,
every day only has 24 hours, okay? Every day only has 24 hours, I promise. But yes, there are short sunlight days and long sunlight days. We just take the sunlight out and call them short day plants and long day plants. And this, the garden mums that a lot of us grow, it turns out because they are shorter day plants, but because they also have been bred so many times.
Right.
They'll bloom a couple of times a year, even though they're
exactly.
Not technically going to do that. They'll do it anyway. And that's fun. So, yes, if you prune them off now, it's the same thing as the pinching conversation we had last week or the week before. Don't do that after about the beginning of July. But if you pinch them in June, you will get another round of flower buds, more than likely in the fall. Isn't that funny, though?
Most likely. Years ago, I don't know if you recall, and I'm sure you do, the introduction of the Belgian mum.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
The one that was just like I'm sure it's still around. You can mow those babies.
I was going to say,
they don't go away.
Yeah,
no, they don't go away.
And I think that's one reason they didn't become so popular.
I know, right?
Because you couldn't sell a new round every year. You know, you couldn't, if you produced them, somebody already had them. They're like, no. It's like the same thing as Formosa lilies that are the big tall ones with the white trumpets. They were used in the breeding of what we use as Easter lilies, but they're actually a different plant. And they turned out to be nearly invasive because they multiplied so quickly anywhere that it was, I don't know, zone 8. Anywhere
here
across the center part of, but even sometimes there's some in Memphis that made big old clumps.
Yeah.
So it was one of those plants that fell out of favor because it was too readily propagated. And then they make seeds. It's like chives. They make seeds and they fling them everywhere. So all of those come up, and you're looking in there going, "What is that? Oh,
oh my!
It's a lily. My goodness, how did that happen?"
Yeah, it's like those native plants you received from friends, and you're not exactly sure what you have.
Surprise! It's Boltonia.
I won't mention his name.
Hello, Nate. Good morning. But Boltonia is one of those plants, and wild asters are another.
Yes.
Now, the thing that I will tell you about the wild asters, because I have them in my driveway, I mow them or cut them down with a string trimmer all the time. They still bloom in the fall, but they bloom on stems that are about a half an inch long.
Right.
And so you can't stop them from doing what they're going to do.
It's like when the wonderful people that, you know, bush hog the medians in the sides of the road and the helenium blooms at 2 inches tall.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it is.
You wish it would do that sometimes, but you couldn't make it if you wanted to do that at all. Let's see, where is this? Blake is in the Delta. My tomato, okra, and jalapeno garden's doing well, but I have one tomato plant that's not. Any idea what's going on with it? Blight. Should I remove it from the garden? It's been like this for about 4 days. I think you've got blight on this particular one because the lower leaves are yellow, but it's not a nutrient kind because there's also yellow moving up the stem. And unfortunately, because I'm such a tomato person, I will take all of the ruined leaves off and wait a couple of days and see if it progresses and then yank it out. Because if you can get them all off and it doesn't keep going, then it was a conditional thing as opposed to a systemic thing in the plant. And sometimes you can do that. But most of the time, this plant's going to need to be gone. If it's right next to your other tomatoes, I'd probably make it gone anyway.
Right. Especially, yeah, I do the same thing.
Especially if they're the same variety.
I don't immediately diagnose and call it quits. I try to keep them clean and see if it, you know, continues. And I've had pretty good luck. A lot of times it's just, you know,
well, and if you're out, when you're seeing it, like this is only 4 days. If you waited another week, we would have to tell you to yank that thing out there now because it would already be yellow all the way three quarters up the plant.
Right.
And unfortunately, when you're seeing that edging of the different colors too changing, that's the beginning of what's going to be browning and more dots and unfortunately more blight down the way because it does progress. I sound like I'm so happy about that. I'm really not. I'm really not.
No, it's
somebody,
a terrible
somebody
thing.
Somebody sent me pictures of three different caterpillars. Which one of these is the hornworm? Well, of course I know because I happen to have had way too much experience with them. But I was surprised at how many people are not aware of the difference between a hornworm and a swallowtail caterpillar, which is the one you actually are looking at right now. If they're in your parsley, it's not going to be a hornworm, first of all.
No.
That's just not, that's not the way that works. But anyway, the fruit is coming in the 601, plums, blackberries, blueberries. Hello, Jim. That looks great. Just beautiful. And I really appreciate, I just love yellow plums and green ones too. The green gauge and then the yellows. The yellows usually are they Santa Rosa? No, yellows are usually something else. But anyway, really pretty. And a handful of blackberries. Come on, y'all.
I won't even say why I was on the side of Highway 43 in Pilahatchie a couple of days ago.
Do we want to know? We don't
want to
know.
If I had on long pants and rubber boots, I could have picked all the blackberries anybody could ever wanted. I reached in just far enough to get a handful and then ran.
That was enough. Yeah, run quickly. Yeah,
I could hear the chiggers going, here he comes. Here he comes.
And that does bring us to something. People too often come to the Deep South, and maybe you just moved here, or maybe you come to visit, or maybe you don't tell your relatives when they come to visit, and they've never encountered chiggers.
Oh.
And chiggers are really nasty.
They are.
Chiggers are an insect that will go home with you, even realize that they're attached to you. But it's not ticks. It's a different thing. It's a different thing altogether. Not fun.
I could hear them rustling in the leaves.
See?
Yeah. I didn't want blackberries that bad.
Well, and it is true. You do need waders a lot of the time.
Yes.
So, Toodles the tortoise. This is really adorable. Yeah. This is Paula from Dentville. She's bringing us this one today. So adorable.
Good morning, Paula.
How do? That rose is making a round, too. Making the round. Listen at you. Thank you, Lance.
Business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned hundreds of millions of dollars in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, MAX and IMPACT, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused careers, jobs, and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jumpstart on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae, treasury.ms.gov.
Hey, this is Bob.
welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show. Peaches Patrick is here with me today, and I am happy to tell you that we are promoting with t-shirts and all sorts of smiles and happiness the Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour this morning. And if you don't know about it, go to fondrengardentour.com and check it out. We're gonna show you some photos from a garden or two. And by the way, right now you're getting to see some of my tomatoes. I got to tell you that tomato, the Rebel Starfighter from Baker Creek, is delicious. But every tomato looks different. It's really weird. I didn't do anything any different. And it's not uncommon, but, you know. Another thing that's going on right now is a frog world. We've got lots and lots of frogs. We've got a brand new picture. This guy came by last night. They're attached to the columns. Yesterday, my friend in North Carolina sent a photo of the tiniest tree frog, had to have just been born in down inside one of her cannas. It was just really pretty. It's like, how do you get here? I hope you stay. You know, that kind of thing. It's not a tree.
I have
a tree frog.
At least one tree frog in our yard that will talk to me.
Well, I don't doubt that at all.
If I chirp at him, he'll chirp back.
The toad that lives in my back garden under the blueberries came out the other morning. I think the toad's 100 years old. I don't really know this, but I believe it's the same one. And just carrying on, you know, croaking and jumping and then going and hiding again and then coming back. It's like, well, okay. But I didn't see any hazards. I didn't see any threats. So I just kept picking blueberries.
Yeah.
Tried to give him something. No, that doesn't work. Anyway. Welcome in to the Garden Mama Show, where we try very hard to answer your questions, to talk about plants, to talk about other fun things that are going on. And frankly, to keep up with this green world that we live in, because there's a lot going on in all of our gardens. And this particular time of year, I think there's probably more to do than we can even think about. There it goes. Make sure I told you the right website. Yes, fondrengardentour.com. That's right. I got it. Okay. Anyway, there are too many different choices about today. You know, we've always got the national today this or today that. Well, guess what, friends? Everybody gets to win this one. Today is chocolate ice cream day.
Absolutely.
We're going to be having a taste testing, and we will tell you how it goes. I won't, but I'll be judging everybody else.
How can you go wrong with chocolate ice cream day?
Right? Well, I mean, that's been my world forever, but that it's just not something that I do too much anymore. But it's one that I miss in that world. For me, chocolate anything is probably better than not. The saddest thing you can say to me is, oh, I got you some nice dark chocolate and forgot to bring it to you. It's like, oh.
Ow.
It's like, oh, I have a handful of new beautiful flower bulbs for you, but they're not here.
Right.
Well, then don't tell me.
Keep it to yourself.
It'd be better if I just didn't know that particular thing. Anyway, I was real surprised to... There's a pollinator sale going on at Crosby Arboretum this week, I think. What are they doing down there? Those pictures looked great.
Yeah, and it looks like they have a ton of merchandise.
Long list.
It was yesterday and today, if you're near Crosby Arboretum. You have from 10 a.m. to noon to go down, and they've got a huge list.
That's wonderful. You know, that's wonderful. List. Well, researchers from the Acoustical Society of America are suggesting that indeed pollinating sounds are part of what attract our pollinators, and they're proposing that we should add sounds to our garden.
Where did my creatine go? It's stolen the port.
Are we talking to Andrew now? Is that what?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
He is ready to go now.
I didn't realize you had put him. I can't see.
I've got a bunch of little things going on.
I didn't know anything. Well, let me introduce you to our guest then. Andrew Hitchcock is here. His garden will be on the Bottle Tree Garden Tour in Fondren on June the 14th. And, you know, we like fancy gardens around here, but we really like homegrown raised bed gardens, and Andrew's is spectacular. Good morning, Andrew Hitchcock. Thank you for joining us on the Garden Mama Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what got you into all this. We've got beautiful pictures coming up on supertalk.tv, and you grow everything I like. So how did we bring you into this world? How did this happen?
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, we had a little garden in the backyard and always like doing that with my family. And then when I was in high school, my uncle had a plot near us where we grew up in Germantown, and he let us come and we would, you know, grow tomatoes and corn and stuff like that. Anyway, when my wife and I got married, we moved to Fondren, and we had a little garden at our old house. And we moved a few years ago, and I always wanted a garden here, but I didn't have a really good spot for it. And then we had to get a tree taken down that was leaning over my neighbor's house.
This is the Fondren story, my friends.
Yeah, right? There's so many big trees. Don't even get me started on trees.
Yeah. We have a few things
but
to say.
We had to get this tree taken down, and it had this big area, and I thought, oh my gosh, this would be perfect. This is what I need. I feel like I need to have a garden again. And so I started doing a lot of research and figuring out like planning and what kind of garden I wanted to have. And one thing led to another, and it started with a fence because we wanted to keep our dog in
the
yard. And then I built another fence, and all of a sudden I had an enclosure, and one thing led to another. And
people don't listen to me when I say that, but it is so true. You really do need a fence.
Yeah, start with a fence.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what's worse is you know, animals or neighbors, kids coming over and taking stuff.
Well, and at least if the neighbor is going to drive the motorcycle through your fence, as happened to me once, they're going to be slowed down by it.
Yeah.
The damage won't be as great.
That's not happened.
Well, tell me what you grow, because it's a beautiful sight, y'all. Some of the and the other thing Andrew does that, of course, I'm crazy for, some of the beds are deeper than others. So if you want to grow carrots, you're not trying to grow them in 6 inches of bad soil. You've got really serious construction. How did you decide on all of that?
Well, first I tried to grow. I kind of did it two ways. I grew the stuff that I liked and thought I would eat. And then I tried to grow stuff that was worth growing, because like a lot of stuff you can grow, but you look at it at the grocery store and you're like, oh man, I just spent, you know, X dollars growing potatoes when I could have bought a bag of them for $4, you know, and then so you kind of got to figure that out. And then at first I grew stuff that I thought would be really pretty, but I found like, well, just because some, you know, there's a vegetable that's pretty and has a pretty flower, I don't necessarily eat it, or like I'm the only one in my whole family that eats it, so it doesn't make sense to grow it. So it's kind of evolved over the past few years into what I really like to eat and what my family likes to eat.
I taught myself how to grow Brussels sprouts before they were popular, and I still like mine better. But that's many, many years when I've just said, you know, they're going to be in the grocery store now. I don't have to do that one. And I'm really the only one that likes them. So,
yeah, well, Brussels sprouts are on that list of things that were like, this is not worth it.
if you're only got one person to eat them at two, it ends up being the thing where you walk down the street and the neighbors cross the street because they know you're going to try and give them Brussels sprouts. Or hot peppers or something, you know, something or another. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about the construction of your beds. I can see that they're built from wood. You've got structures in place that you can cover things. Do you do that for cold or for shade or sun, or how does all that work in your beds?
Yeah, so I'll go over the construction. So first I did the beds are made out of 2x10s that are stacked on top of each other, so you're creating beds that are approximately 20 inches tall, and they're 10 feet long by 4 feet wide, so you're about 40 square feet per bed. I did something called hugel culture, which is when instead of just making a box and then filling it with, you know, soil or whatever, you fill it up full. You put a layer of cardboard down, and that'll keep the tree roots and plants, you know, weeds from growing up. And then you do, I did logs and sticks out of my yard, and then leaf litter, just, you know, yard litter. And then I put down compost, which I used. The Mama Hutto's mix, which I swear by, it's the best stuff ever. So that's it as far as bed construction goes. Each bed is irrigated. They're all tied to a lawn irrigation system that I can control on my phone. And then as far as the structures you're talking about, I have some netting that I use. It's mostly to keep birds out of my strawberries.
It's exclusionary.
And then as far as shade goes, I just tried to be really careful about what I planted, where I planted. You know, I've found that kale does really well in that area in my yard because it gets dappled shade. But then I have other areas in the bed that get lots of sun. So I've kind of like figured out, all right, this is where the tomatoes have to go, and this is where my, you know, brassicas go here.
I think that your ability to
just
take
kind of
those
trial and error,
your ability to take those situations and really take a look at them is what's going to make people have such a great visit when they come to see you on June the 14th at the Bottle Tree Garden Tour in Fondren. The reason that I think you're on the tour is because you do like to talk about your garden. There's some gardens on the tour that, frankly, the beauty of it, the story of it, is either to be told or not. You're just going to enjoy your walkthrough. And I would be that way about your vegetables. But I think there's so many people that want to grow more edible crops that are going to stop by and go, well, I can listen to him. You know, he's doing this. Watch. Let me ask how you did that. You know, how'd you join those corners together?
Yeah.
How'd you do these things? And that's really, I think, one of the great benefits of this particular garden tour.
I wish more people would ask questions, because I love to share, and there's so much I've learned and want to, you know, save people trouble, you know.
Yeah, really.
I just love to share that information.
I like to make different mistakes. You know, we're all going to make mistakes, but I want to make new ones.
Yeah.
I want to make the ones I can learn about from you.
And Andrew, this is Peaches. Mm-hmm. What I appreciate is that you have figured out the logistics of, is this worth growing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not worth growing?
Very sophisticated.
Because a lot of people don't realize, you know, they'll plant 15 jalapeno pepper plants and they only need one. Is it cost effective?
Yeah. I've had those years. I've been swimming in jalapenos and I can't give them away fast enough.
That's true.
Yeah, you're totally right about that.
And not all of the okra will fit in the jar to pickle it.
And
you
only need so much pepper sauce, you know.
Yeah.
So I
but
appreciate
on
that.
The other hand, I can never have enough tomatoes. Give me all the tomatoes. I want them all.
Very true. I used to be that way. Well, I still am a little bit. I like green eggplant, and so there's never enough of that because you really can't buy that anywhere, and it's so different. It's just one of those things that, you know, you get used to and enjoy it. So it's funny how we pick. We make our picks. I know one person who was fascinated and enjoyed very much the curly kale until she grew it and then tried to roast it and found out that no matter how many times you wash it, those little curls still hold on to something that she didn't like, the texture.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So we do things differently. See, that we all have that kind of, oh, look at that. And if somebody would just listen to you, they wouldn't have to have that experience. They could get it from you. Tell me about the tour. I know that it's going to be Saturday, the June 14th, and I don't even remember the time and stuff. It's at FondrenGardenTour.com. But it's basically the middle of the day and the early afternoon is going to be the best time to see this particular garden. And, of course, there's so many. I mean, this is a big, big event. I look forward to there being lots of people wandering around in Fondren going, where's this garden? You know, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're not that far away from me, so I'll be over there at some point to check you out. This year I've peeked in before, but this year I think you've got more going on than previous years. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like to add every year. You know, it gets a little bit bigger,
a little
more refined. But we love doing it. I love to share my knowledge and show off. And my neighbor, Maureen, she's on the tour as well. People like to come here because they get to hit two spots at once.
Exactly.
We have a lot of fun.
And her garden's a lovely one, too. We thank you so much, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you having time for us this morning. And thank you so much for sharing your photos with us. Everybody, this is Andrew Hitchcock. He's part of the Bottle Tree Garden Tour in Fondren on June the 14th. Go to FondrenGardenTour.com. And I'm telling you, there's so much to do in Fondren.
Yes.
You can come down there, have lunch, go tour some gardens, and probably end up dancing in the street. Who knows? I mean, there's no way to tell ever what's going on.
But look both ways.
But do look both ways before.
Look both ways.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We'll see you again soon, Andrew. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on.
Certainly. Well, you know what? I think that one of the pieces of enjoying a garden does come right down to what somebody enjoys about it. And if you enjoy, I went to a tour once and didn't do anything but sit in a chair on a marble patio and listen to this woman rave about her garden. I mean, that was plenty. I didn't have to tour anything. All I had to do was listen to her. I think Andrew might be that way, too.
Very likely.
We're holding on for dear life. We'll be right back.
I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Hey there, homeowners! Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
You already.
I saw a meme this week about whether, you know, you tell a dog to play dead and they crank up scarlet begonias or something. I mean, it's like, come on now. Too many jokes, too many fun things.
That's a good one, though.
It is a good one because, you know, we believe that could happen.
Goes over there and turns the knob on the old high five.
Uh-huh. The record spins, you know, the whole thing. This is a good one. Good morning, Garden Mama. This is from Scott in Raleigh. I recently planted 22 arborvitae green giant trees. God bless you. That was a lot of work. I put a 3-inch PVC pipe beside each one. I've been keeping them watered. Good. They've been in the ground about 2 weeks. The question is there any type of fertilizer I can add now that would be beneficial? They're about 4 feet tall. What do you think, Peaches?
I'd go easy.
Yeah.
You don't really want to push them while they're getting settled in.
A little
you
root know? Stimulator, yeah, a little bit of something, but just not too much of
stimulator.
Anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nothing too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go anywhere near a bag of triple 13. Please.
Yeah, please. Please leave that for something else. Yeah.
You know, you could even go with an organic fertilizer.
At this point, a balanced organic inside that PVC pipe would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
If you have a liquid, obviously.
Right.
But I think that it's a real good idea to provide that irrigation for them. Because these are trees that prefer a much more moderate environment. They're gorgeous trees, but they don't tolerate the extremes that our climate can offer. You know, 7 weeks of drought in the summer,
right.
And, you know, a month of record rain is tough on them.
And then if the weather holds out for next week, depending on where you live, stop everything.
If you are in the area that is going to get showers every day next week, remember that. And look at your irrigation system. If it's automatic and you need to reset something, don't start overwatering stuff. One of the biggest reasons not to continue to overwater if the weather is rainy, in my opinion, is because then you have to keep doing it.
Right.
You know, or the plants get used to whatever you provide for them. Certainly, you have to provide a certain level of water, or they're going to die. But if you're providing, shall we say, egregious amounts, and you know the rain's coming in too. Well, some things just aren't going to make it, but some other things are going to get growing and growing and get very tender and get used to it, and then when it dries up, they'll have a more difficult problem.
You know, it's a lot like buying your dog or spoiling your dog with a certain food. You can't ever cut back.
Yeah. There's bankruptcy.
Once you start that habit, you know, and watering, overwatering.
You got a point there.
Yes.
Paula from Dentville says that any amount of hot peppers are okay because her dad always made homemade hot sauce, and she loves it, and she makes it. So we know, y'all, I told her just be careful what you wish for, but she says, oh, no, there's never too many. So y'all let me know if you got too many.
Yeah. We're going to load up all the peppers and I'm taking them to Dentville.
Beautiful nest. That's lovely. Really pretty.
That is pretty.
That's pretty this morning. So good. Brian has beautiful things from Tupelo. They're so sweet. It was great to see them. Gorgeous geranium. And what I'm going to guess is a banana pepper as opposed to a Hungarian hot wax. But it's so hard to tell the difference.
I could just eat it right off of that.
I know, right there. Just
pop it right off.
Yeah. Fried green tomatoes, anybody? We got that going. Come on. That's wonderful. Fun. How can I get more female blossoms on squash plants? That's a problem.
Yeah.
Because you can't. you can't make it happen. Oftentimes, the first flush of flowers will be one sex or the other, or there'll be one female and all the rest males, or there'll be one male and the rest females. It's hard to predict. Tends to be more males at the beginning. But if you've only got a couple of female plants, you're just going to have to go till the next blooms come along, right, and you'll probably get more. I don't think there's a fertility measure that helps with that. I think it's just the nature of the plant and the nature of the conditions.
Throw some oysters out there, like oyster shells.
You want to encourage them. Okay.
It's been a great year for peaches, but I have a feeling the squash world is going to give them a run for their money.
I think so. I think there'll be, in about a minute, there'll be so much squash that it won't matter if yours make or not. But I do think that we hear this every year, and it's generally speaking the first flush of blooms that are the problem.
Yeah.
If this is like the third flush, then maybe your plants are wearing out, because squash doesn't make that many crops. They'll put on two or three rounds of squash, but then the plant's worn out by that time usually. So I don't know if that could be a possibility here.
I'm just going to drag a lawn chair back by my squash plants and just pick every 30 minutes. It's going to be crazy.
If we could just take more females over to Randy's house in Starkville, that would be fun. Sorry, we can't do that. But anyway... That's good stuff, though. Y'all are so smart. Y'all ask the best questions. We're going to talk a little bit about a few things in the next hour coming up today, and I hope that some of these will be of interest to y'all. I'm absolutely up to my ears in cannas, and I just can't seem to stop talking and thinking about them, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's like, is there a favorite? Well, there is if it's blooming today. I mean, you know, tomorrow it's going to be something else, though. When that really dark green leaf with the tiny red edge around it just even starts to put up a flower, it becomes my favorite one. But if I had to have only one favorite, it would be the species. It'd be Canna indica that just makes that little kind of flag of a flower. It's not real fancy, but it's the darkest, brightest red, just beautiful, beautiful flower.
And the leaves are...
perfect.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
We're going to talk about what makes the leaves less than perfect next hour.
Less than perfect.
Yeah. Talk about tiger lilies, too. We have, it's that time of year, and that's another one that's not easy to get rid of once you get it, but it sure is a wonderful plant to have. I'm telling you what, Andrea's bulbs are blooming again. That's beautiful. Randy says, yes, it was the first burst of blooms on the squash that put up more males than females. Generally, it's just that's what's going to happen. Not always. Sometimes there are, you get all the way to July and people go, well, I never had but two female flowers on these 10 squash plants. I don't know the answer when that happens. I really don't.
Those are Chinese squash plants.
Don't do this.
Nah, I'm messing.
Don't. You're on a short leash today, dude. I have things to do. I can't get fired now. Come on.
He did not see my post about him, and I had to behave today because you were here, apparently.
Apparently he did. He missed that one.
Yeah.
He's careful.
It's all these blueberries and blackberries and corn and all this. Come on, man.
We're all feeling better.
My, I'll eat these flowers.
You've never gotten a text in your life where somebody said, how many blueberries do you need to make syrup?
it's like reaching into... sunflower seeds.
Exactly. If you don't eat all of those, you'll be in better shape. Mm-hmm. You'll have plenty, but I can bring you more. That's for sure.
They're beautiful, too.
Oh, Pam, I'm so jealous. This is beautiful. Pam's growing watermelons and cantaloupes on top of black plastic. We all know that this is a great idea until it's not. Until it gets so hot that they they've made their business, and then you got compost going on underneath that stuff. So that's okay too. But I love this. She's talking about the scrap materials that she built them out of and then layered the fill with cardboard with logs and limbs and leaf stuff, you know, leaf mold and whatnot, some woodsy dirt and some cow manure and some soil from Lowe's busted bag area. I like a woman after economy. I'm with you.
Right?
I'm there all day long. And the garden's beautiful. The garden is just beautiful. But that is something that is so helpful, particularly somewhere like Sardis, somewhere if you're just trying to push things a little bit, you know, you want things to get there a little bit quicker, and this will warm the soil up. By the middle of July, you're going to find that it's real hot under there, and that's not necessarily a bad thing because you may be trying to grow broccoli and things, you know, but you do have to be a little careful about it. That's just beautiful, though. I love it. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, yeah. You've been busy, sir. Y'all stick around. We got some more gardening to do today and some more talking, maybe even a little bit more laughing. See you right after the news here on the Garden Mama Show.
Socking it to me all night long. Lord, sister, the brown sugar. Girl, you always knew with no man.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Bluebell Groom's Cake Ice Cream is renewing its vows on the frozen aisle. Milk chocolate ice cream with chocolate cake pieces, chocolate-coated strawberry hearts, swirls of strawberry sauce, and chocolate icing. See you at the reception.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
You know, I love it when y'all send me the name of something, send me that something by description without the name of it, and my brain can't get there. I don't know what it is I'm looking for. So if you just sent me a question about your magnificently beautiful squash plants in containers, be kind enough to send me a picture of the pest problem that we're looking at, because I don't know what that is. It's described as a cornmeal-type fungus insect or blight on the stalk. I don't know what that is. Yeah. But if I can see a picture, I might be able to figure it out. So thank you for that. Welcome to the Garden Mama Show. That's what we do here. If we don't know the answer, we say, I don't know. Send me another picture. Mark Peaches Patrick is here today. We are talking about plants we like and a few that we don't. Talking about chiggers, which we definitely don't like. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about biochar.
We were talking about biochar. That's right. That's
something
more,
we do like.
That's a very profitable topic if we could just figure out.
Well, I can assure you.
How to get
you,
people to do it, you know.
People say don't ever put pine in your home as far as in the you know, your fireplace.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm
snap,
totally,
crackle, and pop.
Total 180 if you're building a fire in the yard.
That's true.
That's the best
That's
kindling you'll ever have. And just, you, I mean, with all of it that you've
because
we've
it goes
seen,
so quick. Yeah.
I mean,
and there's so many trees that have been devastated, and we are not doing anything with the tree. I mean, fortunately, the powers that be are taking the trees down because they have to be taken down. They're going to fall on cars or fall on houses or fall on structures or anything.
Or people.
Well, I didn't want to say on the walking path, you know, at the parks and stuff. But there's a lot of it, and that material for those of you who can't imagine why we're talking about biochar, there are places in this world that take all of that material and allow it to be debris and allow it to take its time and work with it to turn it into what is basically highfalutin charcoal. Right. Biochar is much better. It's not something you're going to cook with, but it is something that you're going to amend your soils with and do just magnificent things with. And it's expensive when you go to buy it. We have the raw materials for it, like so many other things. You know, I'm famous for how come we don't pick those flowers that are growing on the side of the road that other people cultivate, you know? It's like, what are we thinking? We're not taking advantage of ourselves enough. But anyway, I do love this scarecrow. This is really adorable. This is Gianna's, Greg and Kathy and Wayne Vaughn. We hear from them quite a bit, thankfully. Y'all are so nice. Appreciate you. The scarecrow's named Gianna, to watch over the blueberries. And if you've ever wanted to know why a scarecrow could possibly be named Gianna, go to supertalk.tv in about 5 minutes and you will see why.
Oh, I'll have it up quicker than that. It looks like it's in the hills of Austria.
She's,
the Sound of Music.
She's ready. She has a lot to say and a nice hat too. Marvelous. Just marvelous. We talk about those kind of things, you know. It's, yard art is what it is. And if you like it and it's in your yard, but this is an idea that's going to get picked up by people because it does appear that she's flag dancing too.
It looks like Julie Andrews on the top of that mountain with all the kids in tow.
I love that. That's so much fun.
The Sound of Music.
Why do we grow cannas? That's my question for today. Why do we grow cannas? Cannas are subtropical perennials, that is to say, anywhere pretty much south of St. Louis, they may die to the ground, but they're going to come right back up the next year. Am I right?
Yes.
I think that's true. Sometimes they don't even die down anymore, but that's the traditional use for them is as a recurring perennial. They are, to me, one of the most beautiful, stalky, solid green. I like plants that even if they're in the shade and not blooming, they still look good. You know, and cannas really do have that quality going for them. But, oh, my goodness, the blooms. You know, 2 feet tall, 10 feet tall, anything at all.
On the corner, Ridge.
On the corner.
Those are cannas, the orange ones, right? Yes. There at the gas station, which is a beautiful job that Ridgeland's done on those corners.
Mm-hmm,
you have the trees there on one end and then a massive amount of the cannas in that corner.
I'm pretty sure that was Tropicana canna.
Okay, I was going to ask you what version. Yeah. I don't think I've seen the orange ones as much like that, but they're really pretty.
Yeah, that particular one was popular for a minute and should have continued to be, but I think maybe it was a little fussier to propagate, and we count on cannas to just be impossible not to propagate.
Right.
So I think that's probably what happened to them. Their rootstocks probably got a problem, and they just went on to something else, because there have been several other striped cannas since then that have become very popular.
And actually, I think that one might be Bengal tiger.
It's taller.
Mistaken, Tropicana had some orange in the leaves also, or reddish in the leaves.
See, now, I don't remember that. I remember them being dark at the base, reddish at the base of the plant, but the leaves themselves. We'll have to look them up.
I grow them for the wow factor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I do too.
Oh, my gosh. They're
King Humbert is probably the one that we think of, because you can see them from down the block. You know, they're like 8 feet tall plants by the time they get their flowers on them, and they're big and orange and speckledy. So if you've never known a name for any one particular one, that's the one you probably have seen that you would know the name of.
Yeah, they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they seem to do they move fast as far as when it comes to them multiplying to season?
Yeah, some do.
Or do you have to just plant a ton of them?
No, some of them multiply really fast.
Because the ones up here, I don't remember them last year or the year before being quite as
well. But see, you're seeing there, because that planting has been there for a number of years. Yeah. You're seeing the result of record amounts of rainfall in May.
That was kind of where I was going. Was why?
Because there's twice as many plants and there's twice as many flowers because they all got watered.
Well, and the other thing I wanted to,
and we would not ordinarily water them that much. Cannas can grow in water. They can also grow in drought. You know, they don't care. They may or may not be as pretty, but they're going to survive. And so when they get all this bonus, Well, my goodness, they just said, well, let's just make more plants and bloom.
Very much thrive. Because, you know? I every day, and I've noticed those every day, I'm like, they're wow, so pretty. Man, and I can't believe I've missed that. But
that
I don't
might
think
be
I
Bengal
have.
Tiger. I don't know.
Yeah. They may have a stripe in there or something.
There's a lot of stripes in those.
Hey, one other thing. As you and I were meandering through Jackson, we saw the century plant the other day. And I had to turn around. It was one of those.
Did you see that? Wait,
hold on now. Like, what? Hold on. What did you? Yeah. So that was really cool. So I'm driving. I can't even remember where I was coming back from. Maybe it was in Bolton or something. And I saw one that did not have the vertical spire yet. Mm-hmm. It had the plant as you were educating me on what it will look like when it does not have that 20-foot or 10-foot spire reaching for the stars. But what an impressive
thing
to see.
It's a beautiful plant.
And
you know how,
it's like a dinosaur should be standing.
Well, you may not know this, but in order for a pineapple to make a pineapple plant to make a pineapple, it has to have a particular number of leaves. And century plants are the same way. Until they get, it's not so much the number of years old that it is the quality of that particular plant.
This one looked really
good. The reason they're century is because there were places where it took that 100 years for that all to come together. But in this part of the world, ours were about 30 or 40 years.
The size of this one without the spire looked like it was similar to the one that had it.
So the size of a car.
Yeah, it was huge. And I was like, wow, this may be, you're looking at maybe next year or so
could
before
be.
This
could
one.
Be.
Yeah. And Garden Mama and I stumbled across probably that same one.
Is yeah, I think we did. About? I think we did.
And might have broken a couple of traffic laws to stop and get photos.
Just momentarily.
I'm like,
we're not lawbreakers.
I'm going to park in the middle of the street.
Just for a moment. Not for long.
Just for a moment.
It was nice. I hadn't seen one
this
like
particular,
that.
These attitudes, my friends, are the same reason why when you invite people to come and tour your garden, you make sure they don't carry plastic bags or knives or anything else that they might take a little part of one of your plants away with them. You know they do it. You know they do it.
That's hilarious.
Beautiful cannas this morning, coming to us from New Orleans. Yep, those are so pretty. I love that. I love a multicolor canna flower. I got to tell you, there's just something about that that is just ridiculous. And they're beautiful. Oh, lovely, lovely. Really, really pretty daylilies and things.
Back in my day of propagation in the wholesale nursery, we grew seed cannas. And Lance, you might enjoy this. The seed cannas tend to be a smaller variety. And they don't multiply as quickly until they are many, many years old.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
The seed is about the size of an English pea.
Okay. Wow.
They look like you could use them in a slingshot.
Yeah. You could use them in a slingshot.
And is there a reason why they would take that amount of time to...
Well, from seed, they're just a much longer growth. They'll start, but they don't establish that clump and get growing that way. I have one from seed that's in that container that came back. The other one didn't, but it's a really pretty plant. And lovely, lovely flowers.
Especially when you're doing containers.
Exactly. You want something that's going to bloom at about 18 inches as opposed to 7 feet.
They're great for dramatics in a container.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another one that's going to give you something to look at even after the flower is gone, too.
Right.
So I think that's how come the striped leaves were so popular there for a little while. Everybody was looking for contrast.
Well, and, they are impressive.
You know, they are.
The stripes are really cool.
Ray and Clinton, good morning, y'all. If we cut our daisies back, will they rebloom this year? How do I get people to ask me the questions that I'm wanting to talk about?
Boom,
there's
there
something,
it is.
There's some things to deadhead, and there's some things not to deadhead. There's no question about that. Now, deadheading, for those of you who have been listening to us talk about scarlet begonias and the Grateful Dead, have to understand deadheading has nothing to do with Jerry Garcia or Bob Weir or any of those people.
Even though they did have a lot of flower songs.
There was a lot of flowers going on, that's true. But it's a different thing entirely. They did not take their name from deadheading either.
No.
Okay. No. I've had people actually ask me that as a serious question. But those streams do not cross, I do not think. But to deadhead is to take off the dead head of the plant. It is also called grooming. It is also called making the garden look nice so that people will understand that you haven't given up on it. So, because when flowers finish and they turn brown, some of them, yes, will rebloom. Now, how do we determine who's going to rebloom? Yeah, you can't always, but there's one trick. I have to thank Dorothy for this one. If the stems have modified leaves going down them like daisies do, that stem is not going to bloom again.
Right.
Am I right? Is that correct? I have seen that, and I've listened to people talk about it. I've never seen any research for it. But if you have the modified leaf, like the daisy stem has those little tiny leaves that stick off of it after the stem, you know, along the edges of the stem, that particular stem is not going to rebloom. Whereas a canna, which is leafy all the way up to the top of the flower, you take the flower off, it's going to make another flower bud.
Right.
So that's another piece of the canna puzzle.
It's very similar to the terminal when you're dealing with like a begonia.
Yes.
You know, a begonia, if you don't cut it in a certain spot, it's not going to regrow.
Right. That's true. You have to cut it where the growing node is.
Yes.
We talk about that a lot with trying to propagate like philodendron or something. Everywhere a leaf comes out is a potential growing point. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And when it's on a vine like that, it's easier to see. So I think that's part of that.
That's not across the board.
So the answer is, what kind of daisies are they? And maybe they will and maybe they won't. But you should still deadhead them anyway.
Exactly.
You can cut the flowers and use them in the vase before they fade. That's another good way to tell. But you can certainly do that. I like that. I don't know the name of the purple canna. I honestly don't. We'll have to try and search around and see if we can find this. Okay, good. We've got somebody. Who is this? I don't know. Somebody's using a salt and salt water as a weed killer. That does work for that moment. It does. So does like really strong vinegar does
vinegar.
Too.
Yeah, vinegar
corn gluten.
Works well.
Corn gluten is another thing that can suppress it. Just with all of these, just like any other kind of plant killer, weed killer, you know, herbicide, however you want to label it, you got to be careful where you put it.
Right,
because it's completely non-selective.
Completely,
it will completely take out whatever you've got. So that it's a good one though, and yes, you do have to use them sometimes. come on, y'all! I am not a divorce attorney, and I do not play one on the radio.
Oh no!
Would you please tell my wife how to get rid of hookworms on tomato plants? I'm guessing it's hornworms.
Hornworms.
First of all, she asks you to go pluck them off. That's what. Take your tweezers, take your gloved hand, get those things off of there, because as fast as you pull them off, they're not going to be able to affect the tomatoes. On the other hand, if you wait to spray, they will be grown and have eaten half of it before the spray even takes effect.
Yes. So. I love that. Find the hornworm, you know, because you can find the trail. You know where they've been.
You know where you can see where they've been. That's not a problem.
But they're so great at
and they,
know, disguising
they literally,
themselves.
Well, and they... The thing that I really like about them, even though I hate it, is that if their body can be the same size as the stem of the tomato, they will get on the inside of it where you don't see it and be exactly hidden. And so that's why I always say you have to kind of put your hand in that foliage and look around and see what you've got, because you've probably got a hornworm if you think you have one, if you've got those half-eaten leaves in one place.
And if you've never grabbed one, prepare.
We advise you not to.
It feels like a puppy's belly with legs. It is the weirdest feeling. It's
so strange.
Yeah, that's
a very sweet description. I can't say, I'm afraid mine is more of an ooh. You know, if I have to grab that, I'm going to go ooh. That's why I have my gloved hand at that time.
And the minute you grab them, they like tense up. And,
sure they do.
You know,
they would like to bite your arm off. You know, you're not food. Come on.
I think they're vegetarians. I think
we're
safe.
Well, that's the thing. That's so far. But, you know, things adapt if they have to. But anyway, the best way to get rid of the hornworms is to pluck off the hornworms. Take them off as soon as you see them, and then spray the plants with something that will control the future ones as they hatch. Could be spinosad, could be any number of things, but you need to use something that's hornworm efficient. If they're an inch long and you can see them, take them off, because otherwise it will take too long for the sprays to get ready to work and you'll end up losing a bunch of your plant. I've seen that happen too often. I hate it. But anyway.
They are so aggressive. They are aggressive.
Sure they are.
So can I share my moment of inspiration we had this week?
Please
when
do.
People asking about pruning plants.
Yes.
Okay, this is a quote. Lance, write this down, okay? Never cut off more than you can live without.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Don't
it's
even
like
ask
investing, it. Yeah.
Same yes, way, that's yeah. right. That's right.
Well, we were discussing, you know, pruning and how it used to be you could say, you need to prune this then, you need to prune this then, you need to prune this then. Now with seasonal changes, it's all different.
And regrowth is different. Everything has shifted, and not by a predictable amount either. So we're going to talk about these azaleas turning yellow, and appreciate you telling Mama all about it. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to mwgemployerservices.com.
Can't get out of this particular thing today.
The genre.
It's wonderful.
Well, hey, the wind is nice. That's why I wanted
That's right.
God, there's such a nice little breeze outside today.
Very pleasant.
It is so perfect. If you aren't out yet, get out while
that's
you
right.
can.
Take the radio with you.
We may get some rain coming.
Take the app with you.
From the weather I looked at, it looks like we may get some rain this week. So enjoy.
You understand that although I don't believe that I control anything, I've come far, far beyond thinking that I have any control at all. But I do recognize that I have lots of things to do outdoors this week. And so, yeah, it's probably going to rain a lot.
A lot.
It's probably not going to be well-timed either, because that's how that works, you know. But anyway.
Get you some frog togs and get to it, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I'll be needing those waders.
I am going to have to play the Dewey Balfa and Robert Jardel Pine Grove. Because we're doing like a house.
Yeah.
And if you listen to that and you don't smile on a day like today, something's just not right. Yeah,
I
laugh and smile every time I see that.
Corinne has a good question with a very simple answer. I created a daylily bed a few years ago. Is there a way to know if a daylily is a rebloomer? And also, when do they need fertilizer? The answer is no, and any time at all. If you haven't fertilized those daylilies yet, now when they're blooming is okay. It's not going to knock the flowers off of daylilies to fertilize them lightly. And if their leaves are not in good condition, or if the flowers are not as plentiful as you want, they probably do need some fertilizer. But you can also fertilize them at the very beginning of spring, as soon as you think about it, because they're going to be nourished all the way through. They don't need a great deal of fertilizer, but a little bit would be helpful. And I don't know of any way to tell if a daylily is a rebloomer except to wait.
I was going to say, if it reblooms.
Is that the answer? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But you can find lists of them and pictures of them. And Eddie Smith right now is going, they don't know which ones are rebloomers. Stella Dioro is one and Scarlett O'Hara is one, but I don't know all of them by
Red
any means.
Red Stella.
You know? So anyway.
Happy Returns.
Maybe Happy Returns is a good one. But anyway, I don't know. Some questions on the text line. If my dahlia hasn't bloomed yet, what should I do? It's in a container. It looks really healthy and green. I'm going to say some kind of fertilizer with zero nitrogen in it. Give it some flower form. It's one of those things that says flower booster or something, you know, there's a bunch of names for those, but one of those things is going to work. You need some phosphorus and potassium. Yeah. Oftentimes, dahlias will grow, but sometimes they don't bloom without some assistance. That is true. It's National Chocolate Ice Cream Day, y'all.
Chocolate Ice Cream Day.
Watch out. I wanted to talk about these azaleas. It's a beautiful picture of some lovely azaleas, Mark, but this is the sort of thing you get called to people's houses every week to talk to them about.
I do.
They're not quite as green as they should be. What's going on?
They're probably hungry, you know.
Basically.
You know, as the rule of thumb, we were just talking about pruning time. After your azaleas have bloomed, it's the time to prune and to fertilize.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we've had a lot of wet weather, a lot of rain. Plants get leached. If you fertilize them last year, it's gone.
That's true.
It is gone. So you need to go in there with an acid-loving, you know, azalea-type fertilizer.
And that is one of the products that is actually useful on quite a few things.
Yes, it is.
You don't have to just use it on azaleas, but it is specifically for
acid-loving.
Those acid lovers. You can feed your blueberries with it if you want to.
Yeah, blueberries. You know, and those are in synthetic and organic forms.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, you have options. But, yeah, those particular azaleas just look like they needed a little.
What did you think about that? It looked as if there had been maybe some winter damage and then it had outgrown that.
Possible. You know, we had that real late freeze.
Yeah.
That, you know.
I didn't ask whether or not they had bloomed or not, but they looked like they had bloomed.
Yeah, there was bloom.
Yeah, they looked like they had some debris.
Some debris.
I love that.
That's a good word, huh?
Plant debris is such a great term.
Plant debris.
It's the explanation, you know. Oh, what happened? Oh, nothing. It's just debris now.
You know.
Like I intended to compost that $40 plant, you know, but yeah.
The same people were, you know, we were all worried about the azaleas blooming just like you were in your mm-hmm, blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of them got a little damage from that, but surprisingly enough, we had a banner azalea year.
And this is really the time of year, too, that if you had that bigger bloom than you expected, could have been just the water, but this is a real good time to go look at the base of those plants and make sure they're not split.
Yeah.
Because they'll look really good right up until they don't. You know?
Right, and then all of a sudden, boom.
And they will try to bloom out, and sometimes they can put out new growth. But not always.
You know, it's just a matter of opinion. When you go to prune your azaleas, let's avoid circles and squares.
You don't want geometric forms.
No.
You don't want geometric
no,
forms.
No, I am not a fan of...
I will give you this one, though. If you're going to do the whole thing.
Right.
Don't just shear off the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, or just shear off the top, because then you end up with the crepe myrtles we've seen this week, and also some spireas I just saw on the way into work today that are only blooming on their sides because somebody cut the top off too late. And you can do the same thing in reverse. You have to do the whole plant or not.
Yeah.
You know, that's just.
Folks, that's how much of a contradiction I am. The people that know me well are going to be like, you don't like squared off azaleas. Oddly enough, that is one.
Well, yeah, you're not as much into natural form as I am.
I have
you have many more right angles in your garden than I do.
Yeah.
And that's part of that. I mean, it's a more formal attitude about things.
Yeah, and a lot of times
it's
I
lovely.
Have that, but when it comes to an azalea.
It's lovely. It's nice to have the contrast.
I love that shape and that free
that
flow.
Looser form.
And so what if you can see through it, you know?
That's okay, too.
Yeah, it is okay.
I like that. Real smart. Real, real smart. Did I miss anybody? Oh, yeah. Lady Banksia roses. Can I prune those now?
Sure.
You have just found yourself to the world of once-blooming, climbing roses. There are so few things that are so specific and different, but they are. Once-blooming, climbing roses should only be pruned right after they bloom.
Yeah. And take off
how
all
much?
That you can live with.
That's right.
Don't take off more than you can't live with, but...
But yeah, take it down so it can stay on your trellis.
Yeah, because you know if you go a couple of years and fail to cut it back adequately, the third year you're going to be getting a cherry picker to get up and cut the top out of it,
and you won't have as many flowers either.
You won't.
But the Lady Banksia is one of those roses. If you hate roses and you hate thorns, this is the rose for you. She does not only barely looks like a rose, but she doesn't have thorns and grows on a nice support. You put her on a trellis, you know, like with the, you tie it around the trellis and let it grow up, and you won't even know you have a rose. You'll just think you have this nice big tall yellow flowered or white flowered plant.
Now, if you have grandma's wooden swing set that you just don't want to turn loose of, put it on there and it'll never fall apart.
That's right. Let it go. That thing will grab it and hold on to it.
It'll hold on to it. You'll never have to take it down.
You will see sometimes Lady Banks used as one of those things inside of a pergola.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's
beautiful.
Their branches, her canes and everything are every bit as strong as the wood holding that thing up.
Yes.
You
know? Yes.
Beautiful plant. Lovely plant. The white one is more fragrant than the yellow one in a rare case of, you know, flip-flop of that. But it's an absolutely lovely plant.
It is a good one. It is. And it's less painful than some of the other climbers.
Well, a lot of people really hate thorns. I mean, they just have a thing. You know, they don't, you know, Abraham Lincoln's famous quote, "We have to put up with the thorns to get the flowers." Well, and a lot of people feel like they shouldn't have to. So they don't like that. But those are beautiful flowers. And because they're fully double flowers, they're just a different look. They have a really sweet presence in the garden. You brought us to a really sweet flower that we all like very much. It is, in addition to being Chocolate Ice Cream Day and National Bubbly Day.
Well, there's a good one. Hey,
we'll have
bubbly in a glass or in a bathtub?
I'm afraid it might be in a glass.
Okay.
We might be talking about mimosas, mimosas and things like that. But it is also Black Bear Day. And in that regard, Lance, I have a question for you. How fast can black bears run?
Probably about 20.
35 miles an hour.
I read something the other day that said at top speed, a black bear was at like 30. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, that sounds like a bear that can haul. I've seen a couple of those things are big.
My favorite part about black bears is that they're not all black. There's champagne colored ones and there's brown ones. But they are, in fact, Ursus Americanus. They're the American brown bear. I mean, American black bear. That's why they're so indigenous here. They're smaller. They're more agile. They're faster than a lot of our other bears. And they also can swim.
Yes.
So
That was what it was. I was watching one of those Steve Inman videos on X where people do dumb things and somebody was poking a bear and
every folktale you've ever heard says don't poke the bear. Let's go poke the bear.
They were apparently not in a place that had folktales about bears because this individual, and there were others further away, but this individual decided he wanted to poke the bear and the bear did not appreciate
it. Sure.
And so the person took off running as fast as they could.
Too bad.
That bear waited. And it was a sport.
Look at the watch.
Point. Yeah, it's like, all right, I'm going to count to 10. And then
give him a head start.
Four strides, and he's on top of the individual. The individual finds a way out, jumps in the water, and starts swimming. The bear goes, nah. Again, watches his clock for a second, and then goes in the water after him. And then at the end, everybody's just scurrying, running as fast as they can. They were like, no, we're not going after this guy. You know?
No, he has to swim.
Yeah, he's going to have to do the hard work himself. But, yeah, that's when I was like, how fast is a bear? Because this guy was 40 yards down the road by the time that bear's like, all right,
fast.
I got it. I got this.
Especially when they have been poked.
Yeah, no, it was one of those, you're like, man, what is this idiot doing?
I can run faster, too, anyway.
I actually think I've shared this story. Back in the 70s, my best friend and I were probably inside watching Star Trek or something crazy, you know. And the phone rings, and it was this elderly retired lady that lived around the other side of the lake, around the cove on Table Rock Lake from us. And her name was Mary, and she was in a panic. Her dogs were screaming and having a fit. There was a black bear walking the edge of the lake, headed toward our house.
My dogs ran him off, but he's headed to you now.
Mark and Huck Finn, you know, we go heading out to the lake to catch it. And it disappeared into the woods, but I still have at home in a cigar box a plaster cast of its paw where it passed just below our house.
Oh, my goodness.
Never to be seen again.
Well, see.
Isn't that cool?
Well, because they
can. Bald-headed bear from
because they can swim and because they can run. And guess what else, my friends? Like humans, like most humans, they are omnivorous. they can they eat everything.
They eat anything.
So if we're in the water, we'll have a fish. If we're if we're up on land, we'll have some berries. You know, it doesn't really matter.
And that was Stone County, Missouri, Lance. You stand
Stone
corrected.
County, Missouri.
Stone County.
Table Rock.
Why
Lake,
do I feel Missouri. Like? I'm not even going to say what I'm thinking. I better hold on to myself. Today is also shampoo week. For those of you who don't use shampoo, it's kind of meaningless. But the rest of us, how did we end up with this many kinds is my question. You know, you read the labels and they'll tell you we've got this one has jojoba in it and this one has ginger in it. And this one, I mean, every plant in the world has a shampoo with it as the intense ingredient. Why?
I have a
what
theory that we can't have too many choices in things. The competition's healthy. I love. We're not talking about competition. We're talking about the number of choices.
The number of choices.
Sometimes there can be too many.
There can be too many. It's like the menu at some of these chain restaurants.
Yeah.
Please, people. Oh, you're killing
AI,
me.
You need AI to scan it for you. Just
yeah, exactly.
So you
can you pull out my favorites and tell me
you're
where they are?
Me.
I don't have this amount of time, man. Come on.
Well, and that's, I mean, I give him credit. I'm not the world's largest Gordon Ramsay fan, but when he goes into one of those things to tell them what's wrong with their restaurant, if the menu is more than two pages, he'll tell you, here's the first problem.
Exactly.
You can't possibly do all of these things well, you know.
But you can't turn the tables fast enough if it takes you 2 hours to pick out what you want.
Exactly. So it's a whole it's a whole thing, that's for sure. It is a whole thing.
But is there anything like that in gardening where you can just snap your fingers and it just grows faster? You get better service.
Those are the ones that people call weeds, and they do. They grow around your legs as you are walking through the garden that you didn't mow.
And that happens in 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. But that's the thing, you know, that could be a prized plant from somebody else. A lot of people don't like broom sedge, but if you've ever seen baskets woven from it, it's a magnificent natural resource. But on the other hand, I don't want it up next to my house, you know, it's a mess. Just funny, the things that we like and that we don't like, the ones that we use. Another little piece about the cannas that we didn't approach, and if we don't, we'll have somebody telling me all about it, is the whole business about canna leaf rollers.
Oh, yeah.
You have canna leaf rollers, don't you, Mark?
Occasionally, yes. Yeah, it is a battle.
Do you treat ahead of time?
I do.
Yeah, see?
I do preventative constantly.
I don't.
Not constantly, but...
I do this at the end of the season when I cut them down. I'll dust that area after I get the material out of the way, so there's nowhere for them to nest. Doesn't always work.
I need to teach a schnauzer how to eat them.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
Right now, Lance is playing love songs, so I guess that we should probably step away and let these various and sundry sponsors keep us on the air for a little bit longer. We'll be right back.
Propane heats and lights up our life, but being propane safe is vital to our peace of mind. Protect your loved ones with professional installation and propane inspection. Don't cut corners by having a family friend install. Contact your propane provider and stay safe. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more about the many uses of propane. That's mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
We have one voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
On.
it's a mighty big compliment when somebody who wrote a song says you own it. And that is the case with the tune you were just hearing. It's called Tumbling Dice, written by one, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. He said, Miss Linda Ronstadt, you own that song. And she did. I saw her perform it in public once, and it was astounding.
I love me some Linda Ronstadt.
Her and the Aaron Neville album.
Yeah. Oh, now, come on. You're on a romance thing this morning. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be mine? Won't you be mine?
See?
Wait a minute.
He's in a really good mood today, y'all.
Wow.
Now, we did have fun yesterday. I will confess that this whole week has been a blast.
Been a fun time.
But Thursday up? Probably more than anything.
Well, when we talk about bricks in the next show,
yes,
we're building houses.
But yes,
when we talk about bricks in this show, we're talking about remote access for Garden Mama.
Yes.
She's worldwide now. So you will be catching her and at your local street fair and garden show and plant sale.
We have to talk about my board and my green screen, but yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, we'll
we're
strap that thing
y'all,
down and get
for,
it there.
For those of you who have heard various and sundry rumors of my demise, they are not true. But yes, I am downsizing a house that's too big for one old person to live in, and a garden that's too big for two old people or even four. It's a real change in time, and a lot of people don't get to decide to do this. A lot of people are promoted either by physical health conditions or by somebody else's conditions or by the lack of money, and I certainly lack money, but that we all do, you know, we're gardeners. We're not anybody else. We're just us. And when it comes time, you have to be really happy about what you're doing. If you're going to make changes, because that's really the only thing that's happening is change. It's not.
And that's constant.
And I'm still right
that's
here.
That's constant.
You'll still be hearing me Saturday mornings.
Well, and worry not, ye Garden Mama listeners. She has created an Ark of the Covenant for her plants and took two of each, and they that's will right. be.
That is no lie.
The
verse of will land
one
on Mount Hermon somewhere.
Direction. Yeah. We'll figure out which ones they're going to do better.
It has been.
Yeah, if you see a 30-foot green screen strapped down to a Versa.
To a 20-foot car.
heading down. That is not a sail. That is a green screen. So
we're working on it.
Speaking of sails.
They have no idea.
They don't have any idea.
Copiah County?
We almost missed this, and I apologize. We both
do. I didn't know.
Copiah County Master Gardeners are having a plant sale from 9 to 2 today in downtown Crystal Springs.
How about that?
I guess.
I'm telling you. That's what it looked like. It was a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Bunch of good-looking plants.
I don't know how I missed that one.
I don't know. Not on everybody's calendar, and certainly not on mine.
But we caught it.
But we grabbed them. Y'all go see them. Tell them we said hey.
Yeah. Hey, you said there's lots of plants to choose from, and I assure you they're probably
we over. Have noticed this, and we're coming up to the end of our day here, but I do want to say this because I think it's important. May was record-breaking rain in many, many parts of the South. As a result, people said, well, I once worked in the retail garden industry one spring when it rained every Saturday between February and May. Okay, just didn't have to rain the whole rest of the week. Killed our business on Saturday because that's when there's so much business in a garden center. And one of the things that people have said is, I got to go get some hanging baskets. You know, I got people coming for the 4th of July. I haven't got any annuals out here yet. I've dug up these perennials, but I haven't planted them. So we're seeing a lot more people in garden centers.
We are.
And I'm just asking y'all to be aware that as we get into the summer, it's not because they're trying to take your money, although they're happy to do that because they are in business for that purpose, but you have to buy bigger plants.
Yes.
And that's what you're going to find. And a lot of people go, well, I went and they didn't have any 4-inch this or that. No, they didn't. Those were gone.
Yeah.
But they're going to be harder to grow starting from now anyway. So go ahead and get the gallon size, get the 2-gallon, get the basket that's 10 inches instead of 4 or 10, you know, whatever, and have things that you can actually maintain through the summer heat.
And let me share this on behalf of garden center owners and employees. This may be the season to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. They may not mm-hmm. have what you've all. I've always planted that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time to try something new.
Listen and see what they got.
Yeah,
you know,
give it a whirl.
And again, when you understand your conditions, You know, I've got an 8-inch flower pot on the side of my front door. I need it to be beautiful for whatever, you know, the Father's Day or for, you know, something coming up. They can help you do that.
Right.
These are people that do this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So you don't have to feel at a loss. You can really get some great advice there.
And if you're just totally behind, call Mark with Southern Charm
Garden
Design Services.
All you have to do then is just say, over here.
Give me a call. That's right. Yeah. That's what I do every day.
And it's really part of the joy of knowing somebody that knows as much as you do is that you can get those ideas, those options, those think out of the box moments. I'm still going to forever be the person that says put a shrub in that big pot because you need it to look good after
yeah,
the annuals have gone kaput, you know. But there's so many details to it that I learn from you every time I look at a collection of your things. There's so many.
That's his head expanding. It's like a balloon.
That's right.
I'm kidding.
Did I miss something?
We're trying to get him to
He's stroking his ego. I mean, but he's awesome. The pictures you've sent, I've been
blown
away. And I wish I had the skill set to, and the patience, honestly, to do that kind of work because it makes everything, especially in front of the homes, it's so different.
Curb appeal is a real thing. Okay, it is a real thing, and if you're not thinking about it, you're not doing yourself as proud as you could be.
Right.
You show off a little bit in the front yard, you know.
You know the gentleman that I work with all the time. It's a pride issue.
Yeah,
it's a pride thing, you know, and it.
You want to be pulled together. You want to look nice. You want other people to go, oh, that's really nice.
I'm bewildered when people have these beautiful homes and then
they're nothing in the front,
or it's just not done right.
Well, or the door is 8 feet wide and 10 feet tall, and the flower pots are 8 inches.
8 inches. Yeah,
that's another thing where we have to kind of help you think about that.
It's like putting that 30-foot green screen on a 10-foot
car. On my
10-foot
car. Yeah,
it's a little off balance.
It's not going to work.
It's a little off balance.
It's a lot off balance. Remember to get your tickets to the Finder and Bottle Tree Garden Tour. Get yourself over to the Copiah County sale if you are in Picayune right now. I hope you're at the sale because they're about to finish up their morning at noontime, too. There's just a whole lot to do.
The Pickle Fest.
Oh, my goodness.
How could we forget the Pickle Fest?
Well, I'm telling you, if you're the winner of the pickleball contest, we want to talk to you. So.
I mean,
I guarantee you they'll have the Kool-Aid pickles there at a Pickle Fest, too.
All things pickles. Mm-hmm. You know, I ought to go put my cactus costume, since everybody thinks it looks like a pickle, and go to the
Fighting
kinda,
Okra.
It does kind of. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, do we have a recipe for the quick pickle? Do we prefer salty or sugary? It really, you have to have kind of vinegar and some of all of that.
I like the sweet gherkin. I'll eat a whole thing of
those.
Crush those little minis.
Right. Yeah. I'm a dill girl myself.
I'm a dill girl.
Yeah.
Dill boy, excuse me. And I'm a slicer.
Oh, you like slices.
Yeah.
I like that. But I like to do that myself because I want different widths sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, how did Vlasic get the stork? How did those work?
How did that happen? Yeah, so I don't even know.
That's one that always got me, but hey, I'll take it.
There may be an underlying meaning.
And
we don't know what it is.
Yeah, we just don't know what it is.
I'm sorry. I had it on silence and up still. My bad.
We jammed out some Mason. Well, Mason's going to take us out of here. But guess what? Next week is another version of the Garden Mama Show. We'll be here. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you, Andrew Hitchcock. Y'all all have a great week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811.
Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.